Hey, what's up? You're listening to Indie Music Diaries with me, Lockie. It's casual conversations with real musicians. So excited to be sitting down virtually with Chelsea Berman, a country pop artist and has been making music for a number of years now and is based in my area here on the Central Coast. And I think it's really important, especially in the difficult time we are in now, to be supporting artists in your local area. So it was so great to get her on and talk about the awesome music that she's been making. And she's got a new song that just came out just a week before this podcast dropped. So it's always great talking to an artist, especially when new music has just dropped. So hopefully you enjoy this episode and get something out of it. In other news, I've been releasing some videos around the EP that I released, which has just been over a month now since I dropped my debut EP. A little behind the scenes videos of like the making of some of the tracks have been coming out, as well as some stripped down versions of the songs. So if you want to check them out, I'll make sure to have that linked down in the description wherever you're listening to this podcast. But let's jump into the chat right now. It's Lockie and Chelsea Berman on the Indie Music Diaries. Enjoy. How's it going, Chelsea?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really, really well, because this is another opportunity for me to talk to an artist who I've sort of known of you for a while, but we haven't really this will be good, because this is the first time we're like sort of properly like having a conversation here. So I'm really excited to sort of dive into sort of who you are as an artist and your music as well, because you're sort of really in the thick of it at the moment. The new song has just dropped, which is very exciting. So we'll dive into all of that stuff. But first of all, people that maybe haven't heard of Chelsea Berman before, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I was singing from quite a young age, as most singers do. I kind of started out singing like jazz, and then I moved to musical theater, and then I was just listening to pop, because that was, I guess, the mainstream cool thing to listen to. So I was just listening to that, and I definitely obviously still like pop, but I guess I didn't really know what else was out there in a way. And then I was in a duo with my friend from school. So we, you know, performed a lot around the Central Coast and, you know, other places in Australia. And that was really, really fun. And then my mum took us to the Tamworth Country Music Festival probably about 7-8 years ago now. And that was, I guess, my first real introduction to country music. And absolutely fell in love with it. I was like, what is this thing? Then after that, I was pretty much obsessed with it and really wanted to, I guess, go down that country path. So after I finished school, I kind of went solo. Ever since then, I've kind of really been building my profile, building my, you know, supporters, and obviously releasing a lot of music and playing a lot of gigs. So it's been awesome.
So good. That's cool. That's cool hearing such like an eclectic background there, to sort of hear that you've gone through the music. Like country wasn't necessarily like the first thing. It wasn't necessarily like your first love or anything. Country music, something that I got really into within the last few years. And, you know, I'm sure you inspirations for you artists like I'm really into Maren Morris. Like early Taylor Swift stuff is very country inspired as well. Who are the sort of artists that inspired you, like those in particular, or like others, like who sort of inspired you to get into the country music thing?
Yeah, I guess at the start, it really was the artists that I kind of saw live at Tamworth, because that was just my first introduction to it. So people like the McClymonts, Melanie Dyer, who's now a friend of mine, which is awesome. People like that, people that were at Tamworth, and I did, you know of some of them, but I never really, I guess, gotten into their music or seen them live. I think when you see people live, it's such a different experience to just listening to their music on, you know, Spotify. So yeah, I think that was really what got me into it. But then when I guess was researching it a bit more and listening to more of a wide array, my first inspiration was probably kind of Kelsea Ballerini. She's very country pop, and that's definitely what I try to do as well. And really, really loved her music kind of from the get-go. And that kind of, I guess, influenced my sound and was kind of the inspiration for my specific sound straight away. And then since then, obviously, there's so many amazing people like Maren Morris, Carly Pearce, Kelly, Casey Musgraves as well, is amazing. So yeah, definitely take, I guess, a lot of inspiration from a lot of different people, I would say.
So good. And obviously, you know, it's so great to go to a place like Tamworth, which I remember going there like several years ago. So I'm seeing like the big golden guitar. That's in Tamworth, right? The giant golden guitar.
Yeah.
Like it's so cool, and like seeing sort of like the history of the place and everything. And what I did want to ask you is like, how did you get into the idea of potentially like thinking that you could do this as a career and getting into this full time? And, you know, were you writing songs from a young age, or is this something that sort of came later on? You thought, oh, yeah, I could do this as a career.
Yeah, I was actually writing songs from a pretty young age. Obviously, they were pretty crap to start off with. But then I, you know, got a bit better, wrote with other people, which really helped. You know, co-writing sessions has been amazing. And that's really what I do most of now, rather than just writing by myself. But yeah, I think it was probably when, obviously in my duo, like we kind of were doing music kind of full time, like we were doing gigs on the weekend. And then when I did go solo, that was what I kind of started doing, like cover gigs. But then I guess I kind of got over those because they are very hard. And especially someone like me who does original music, you know, people in pubs usually don't really want to hear your original music. They just want to hear covers. So it's definitely a bit tricky. So I kind of left that scene and, yeah, kind of went more into the original music kind of full-time, I guess, not doing any more cover gigs, which meant that obviously I couldn't do music full-time because you don't really earn enough from original music unless you're, like, you know, big. But it meant that I could really be doing what I want to do, you know, singing, performing, writing my own music, which is amazing, releasing music. So, yeah, I guess when I did start to do that and I saw, I guess, some traction and I got, you know, festival gigs and my songs were doing well, I think that was like, oh, okay, you know, maybe I can, you know, do this. And I think that was, yeah, probably that stage where I did see things going well. That was when I was like, oh yeah, I'd like to keep doing this. You know, obviously if you don't get any kind of, I guess, success or, you know, people really supporting you, it can be hard to keep going. And obviously I've definitely been in those stages and sometimes you're just like, why the hell am I doing this? It's so much work, it's so expensive. But then, you know, when people are supporting you and love your music and tell you that, it's just so special. So I think that's definitely what's kept me going as well.
Nice. That's really, really good to hear. And you've built up like a pretty solid like collection of music over the last few years. And as I mentioned to you just off air, I always like to go back and like listen to the stuff of like whoever I'm chatting to on the podcast. And like, I was like, oh my gosh, you've like released so much music. And like, I was like saying, so like you had the debut EP, which was like 2018. But let's jump into this new one, which I was listening to just before. It's so good. I love it so much. Tastes Like a Hangover.
Thank you.
Such a cool track. Tell us about this one in terms of like, where did it start in the songwriting process? And yeah, if you want, you can like talk about the recording process and how all that happened.
Yeah, so I guess the song, this one definitely came from personal experience. I have been, you know, in the past probably year or so getting quite bad hangovers. And I thought that was quite a relatable thing for a lot of people, I'm sure. You know, I've heard hangovers can be horrible for some people. They definitely are for me. So I thought I'd write a song about it, but make it a bit fun, you know, not just focusing on how shit you feel the next day, but also about, you know, how much fun you have on the night. And it's kind of worth how you feel the next day. but yeah, that's kind of what it's about. So I wrote this one with another country artist who lives in Nashville now, but he was from Australia and his name's Troy Kemp. And I've written a few of my singles with him actually. And he always brings so much fun to the writing session. So I thought this was the perfect song to write with him. And yeah, kind of bought the idea. He obviously related to it too. And we wrote a really fun song. And then I brought it to my producer, Rhoda McCormack. He's local from the Central Coast, which is great. I love working with local people when I can. And yeah, he really made it into something really cool. I think this song kind of does have a bit more of a country element compared to maybe my EP, my last EP. Not as much pop in there, but it definitely still has those pop influences. So yeah, I thought I'd go a little bit more country with this and kind of see how people responded, I guess.
Nice. So good. So good. And Rod McCormack. So Rod McCormack, whose name has popped up many times on this podcast. And you probably know, like, I mean, here on the coast, we've got like Alaska. Who else? Toby Wells has worked with Ron McCormack, and they've both been on the podcast before. And he seems like a really, really good person to work with because he seems quite diverse as well. The fact that he can sort of operate in different styles is something that you've worked with in the past as well with your other stuff.
Yeah, so I worked with him for my EP that I released at the start of this year. But I was working with different producers before. Yeah, I really obviously heard what he'd done with other people. He'd done some stuff with Bryce Ainty, who's a friend of mine from the Central Coast, another country pop musician. So I really liked what he did with him and I thought he could, yeah, really kind of help my sound. So I wanted to work with him and yeah, it all went amazingly well. Yeah. And yeah, really love working with him. So I don't see myself working with anyone else in the future.
So good. So good. And I think later on we can touch on sort of like your experience with like working with different songwriters and producers and what that's like, because that's always interesting. Like co-writing, it's something that I want to get more into as well. So, but before that, let's sort of like do just like a quick little walkthrough of your discography, leading all the way back to 2018 on Spotify. You got like Better Than Ever, the EP. Here's the thing that I noticed, right? And I don't know if you get told this, but like there's a consistent production quality and like not production, but songwriting as well across all of the stuff, which I think is really, really cool and great from an audience perspective to sort of see that consistency from you, which is at a really high level. Tell us about those early releases, if you want to get started with Better Than Ever and then sort of releasing those singles through 2019 and onwards.
Yeah, it does feel like a long time ago, even though it's only a few years. And, you know, when I listen to my earlier stuff, I do probably cringe a little bit just because I think, obviously, what I was writing about, I was feeling back then, but now it does seem a bit immature. But obviously, I was young, so it makes sense. And I think whenever artists write songs when they're younger, usually they do cringe when they look back a bit. But yeah, obviously really proud that I did release that. That was when I first kind of went solo. So I did release some music with my previous duo, but this was my first kind of solo release. So I thought I'd do an EP and it was awesome. It actually went quite well. Like I did get some really great success with it, which was awesome. And that was really my first introduction into anything really country music or the industry, I guess, as a whole. Like before, when I did release music with my duo, we were just kind of selling it at our gigs and that sort of thing. But this was kind of like, yeah, a bit of a different space and, you know, radio and all of that sort of thing that comes along with it. So yeah, it was really awesome. And I had a great friend that produced it for me at the time. And as I said, I do cringe a bit, but I think, you know, that progression, it's good to see progression. And I think I've definitely improved since then, you know, with my sound and my songwriting and everything like that. So it is kind of cool to look back on that stuff because, obviously it shows how much people improve.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. It's so like I've never heard of an artist that hasn't cringed on anything that they've released 3+ years ago, right? Like many artists that I've had on the podcast, like just as like your early songs that are like always like just crap that you never want anyone to hear. It's so funny, but I think it's good at the same time as well because like where you can sort of see that progression and like again, I think from an audience point of view, I like to sort of think like when I come to releasing music and I've only done an debut EP so far, but like think about what is it like from the audience's point of view, and it's really cool to sort of see that progression, that organic progression. The other thing as well is that what I like about your release, you've been like really consistent in terms of like releasing a decent amount of music each year. Are you kind of person, are you very, like some people either seem to be really scheduled and like, you know, have everything in the calendars and having everything mapped out for like the year and like in terms of their releases and everything? Or are you the sort of person that just goes with the flow where like you have a song, you record it and release it? And yeah, what's sort of your sort of working process when it comes to releasing music?
Yeah, definitely organized and scheduled. I wouldn't say I schedule my releases like too far in advance, but I do, I guess I'm conscious of not leaving too many months in between each release just to, again, be consistent. And I think as I am obviously an emerging artist, I do need to, I guess, keep my name out there and keep releasing new stuff quite consistently to just kind of keep that momentum, I guess. So that's, I guess why I've done that. And obviously singles help, you know, obviously you can't release an EP or an album every few months because that's just crazy. But singles, obviously, you kind of can. And I think that's why I've gone more down that route of releasing more of those because I can release more. It's not as expensive. And it just kind of keeps that momentum going. And I did actually have a manager for about 2 years and he kind of got me onto that kind of release schedule and said that was a good idea. And it's definitely worked really, really well. So super happy that I've stuck to that. I guess I did have, when I did release my EP at the start of this year, I did have a bit of a break before I released this single, just because obviously that was kind of, I guess, 5 songs at once. And I did need a bit of a break because it was a big process and a lot of money and all that sort of thing. So had a bit of a break, but I thought it was about time I got something new out there.
So good. So good. And what I liked of what you mentioned there before about, you know, being an emerging artist and sort of, you know, releasing consistently is something important. It's important to do as an emerging artist because you don't have that audience that's there ready to like consume something as soon as you put it out. You have to be consistently putting out stuff and trying to reach those new audiences that are out there. And like, I mean, looking back, as we've said, it hasn't really been a long time, but at the same time, you know, you've really released a lot of stuff. But within like the last 3 years, like what would you say are some of like the biggest lessons that you've learned of, I guess, when it comes to really mainly the sort of releasing original music, really being an emerging artist? And it's so cool to see where you're at now because you're really at the point now where you're, you're seeing this sort of like the audience sort of has built up over these years now, and it's really, really exciting to see where you're at now. So have you got any like particular pieces of advice for emerging artists who are wanting to sort of build that sort of career as an original writing and music artist?
Yeah, I guess I might give some more mindset tips rather than practical.
Sure.
Hopefully that's okay. I think the first one would be that you do need to treat it like a business in some way, especially if you're like, obviously, if you're just doing it as a hobby and you're just releasing music for fun, that's totally fine. Do that. But if you do, I guess, want to, yeah, do it full time, earn an income, really, I guess, build your presence and your name, you do need to kind of treat it as a business, which is really tricky. I think when obviously us musicians, it is our passion and we love it so much. So it is kind of hard to treat that as a business. But, you know, you do need to be investing in certain things to, you know, get your songs out there. You do need to be sometimes, you know, when you are first starting out, playing those support act gigs and festival gigs for not much money, and that obviously really helps build your brand. But then also you need to get to that point where you do need to charge a good amount, so people, I guess, see your value and they know that you're not just going to play for free all the time, because then you will just play for free all the time and you won't earn any money. So it's a bit hard to kind of get a good mix between that. But yeah, you do kind of need to be quite organized and structured with it. Know, I guess, your release plan, know what you're doing for each release, your marketing, all of that sort of thing. Also your brand, like who you are as an artist, how you want to be portrayed, who you kind of want to target, who you want your audience to kind of be like. So there are definitely a few things around that that's really important to, I guess, get clear on. The other thing would be, and this is something I've kind of only really learnt in the past year or so, is really when you do release, try not to focus and get caught up in, you know, the charts and what other people are doing and the success they're having, because it can get really, really tricky. And I know specifically for my last EP, I was kind of getting caught up in that and, you know, saying, why am I not doing this? And why, you know, is this not good enough? And all of this sort of thing, and getting, I guess, really hard on myself, when a lot of the time it's not you, it's not your music, it's just, you know, what's happening at the moment, the landscape. Sometimes the bigger artists can release at the exact same time as you, and obviously they're just usually going to go better because they do have that audience and profile. So yeah, I guess you do need to treat it as a business, but you also need to not get too caught up in, I guess, the charts and that sort of thing, what other people are doing, and kind of stay on your own path as much as you can. I'd say those are my main two tips.
So good. Yeah, yeah, there's certainly plenty in that for sure. And, you know, I mean, we're always learning as well. No matter how far you are into the journey, we're always sort of like learning about how the whole process works and the right and wrong things to do, which I think is important to remember as well. But yeah, and you mentioned before you've obviously worked with a manager. So, I mean, you spent some time like without a manager and with a manager as well. What's sort of your opinion on working with managers as an artist? Because there seems to be sort of like a lot of talk around it, I guess, in terms of like a lot of up and coming artists. Like, I was like, oh yeah, I got to get a manager. I got to get a manager so I can do this, that. Do you think having a manager is an essential, especially as a solo artist? Do you think that you can sort of get by doing everything on your own? Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think a lot of it probably depends on who the manager is. I know there's a lot of bad ones out there, a lot of dodgy ones, so you do have to be really careful with who, I guess, you put your trust in. Is something really important to be aware of. Myself, I had a really great manager, and I think I got him at a good time in my career, if you know what I mean. Like, I was kind of still starting out, you know. My first release when I had a manager was Kiss Me Like You Miss Me, and that, you know, went really, really well, which was awesome. And obviously he helped a lot with that. So yeah, I think having him, it was about 2 years that I was working with him, up until the start of this year. And yeah, I think he really helped specifically at that point in my career to kind of get me to a level that I guess I could do it more by myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think, it obviously depends on who you are as a person as well. I know a lot of artists, as I kind of mentioned before, they struggle treating it as a business, and sometimes a manager can help with that, because they kind of, I guess, do more of the business side for you and you can kind of just focus more on the music. So that's really helpful as well. But I definitely don't think it's essential. And I know people obviously have had great careers without a manager. I think definitely once you do also get to that point where you are quite big and do have a big profile, obviously you do definitely need a manager then. I would say that's quite essential. But yeah, I did find it quite beneficial also having one, I guess, more at the start of my career, just to really get to know everything that I needed to know about the industry. Obviously, I'm still learning a lot and don't know everything, but just everything I kind of needed to know to be able to release, and the kind of people I needed to work with, you know, like publicists and producers and all of that sort of thing. So that was really, really helpful. So yeah, I wouldn't say it's essential, but it's helpful.
Yeah.
If you have the right person.
and I think it's all about self-awareness as an artist, right? Like, as you're sort of saying there, like, you know, you sort of had that manager in those early years, which is a great thing, because that can be great to sort of like help like steer the ship in sort of the right direction, especially when you're starting off. But at the same time, like, you might be someone that is capable of sort of like, you know, has really good communication skills and when it comes to that side of things, that but for some people that just doesn't come as naturally. So that's where a manager will sort of come into play a bit more, you know, has a bit more importance, getting a manager in that sense, I guess. Cool. So I guess sort of that's sort of like the collaboration on a music business or industry side of things. But going back to what I was touching before about sort of collaborating with songwriters and producers. So you mentioned, was it, that guy was from the States, right? That you collaborated with on the new one?
Yeah. So he only moved to the States actually in like COVID lockdown last year. So he moved over there. So he hasn't been there for long, but yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of like all of these, like how often would you that you write just by yourself or with other people? Are you like majority co-writing when it comes to your original stuff?
Yeah, pretty much stopped writing by myself altogether, which is bad. Like I would like to still be able to write by myself, but I find it really tricky now, I think, because I have written with other people so much, and it's just so good to be able to, you know, bounce off someone and have someone else there giving ideas, because I think it's really hard to write by yourself, and just sometimes you can get caught up in, you know, is this really good enough? Does this sound crap? And it's a bit tricky. Definitely write mostly with other people now, but I love it. So yeah, definitely happy that I started doing that.
And how do you find, working with like different dynamics with like different people? Because it's interesting, like for someone like me, I don't, like I've barely ever co-written, like, apart from the bands I've been in here and there. Like, I mean, 95% of my songs have just been me, really. And it's interesting sort of hearing you.
Yeah.
You're like the opposite in a way. But I think it's cool that the fact that you can sort of operate in different ways. But like, because I'm really curious, like in terms of how work when it comes to, for example, if you've got like a certain like idea for a song or a set of lyrics, and maybe someone comes in and says, you know, in a polite way, like maybe we can try this, try that. Yeah, what do you ever like face roadblocks when it comes to co-writing? Yeah, what's that like?
Yeah, so I guess if I look back at my first kind of co-writing experience, it was strange, definitely, because I'd only written by myself then. And for this particular one, I actually had a song written, but I wasn't really too keen on it. So I kind of took that to the session and we kind of just rewrote the whole thing. But usually now I, you know, bring an idea or a few lyrics or a melody or whatever it is, but something quite small, and then we kind of build on that, because I think it's hard if you bring like a full song or a half finished song to someone and they're not really part of that starting process, so it's kind of hard for them to help you finish the song, if you know what I mean. But obviously everyone works differently, and I've been pretty lucky in people that I've written with, you know, we've always got along, had, you know, matching skills, complementary skills. So maybe they were better at the guitar and the melody and I was better at the lyrics or whatever it was. So I think that's quite important too. Like, you don't really want to be really good at lyrics and writing with someone that's also just good at lyrics and you can't do the melody or the instrumental or anything of that. That makes it quite tricky. So you do have to, I guess, be careful who you are writing with in that sense. But I think the only, I guess, bad experiences I've had is if you just kind of hit that roadblock in the song, whereas maybe you've written a few lines or you've written a verse and you just can't get any further no matter how hard you try. And that does happen sometimes, depending on who you write with. A lot of writers will like push through and you will end up getting something really cool, but some people just kind of hit that roadblock and kind of just can't get past that. So usually we just leave it and say, you know, we might finish it another day, or maybe we won't. It's just kind of how it goes. So yeah, sometimes obviously you'll get something really amazing, sometimes you get something that you probably won't, you know, sing, or maybe just not record. So yeah, it's definitely kind of a pick and mix, and you don't really know what you're going to get sometimes. But usually when I do find, you know, people that I love writing with, I continue to write with them, because I know that it works really well. So yeah, I definitely suggest trying it, maybe with someone that you do know quite well, just because it can be quite scary, and you do need to have quite a thick skin, because sometimes you'll say an idea or sorry a lyric and they'll just be like, yeah, nah, that's not gonna work, and you kind of I know, yeah. Well, they're not mean about it, but, you know, they're nice about it usually. Yeah. But, yeah, you do need to be able to kind of be like, okay, let's try something else and not be like, no, I really wanted to use that. Mm. So, yeah, you do have to be quite have a thick skin.
Yeah, and I guess as well, like, it'd be good for when you do face those roadblocks for someone to have a different perspective, because it's, I mean, a lot of solo artists fall into the trap, I think, a lot, where they can sort of be very sort of hate-minded or very single-minded when it comes to a certain song or a certain idea in a song or something. And having that outside perspective would, I guess, would help so much. So, yeah, it's something, yeah. Something I've got to certainly got to try more writing with yeah. other artists, that's for sure. But, hey, the future for Chelsea Berman. Obviously, we're still currently living in a world which is, well, at least where we are, currently still in lockdown, unfortunately. But moving forward for Chelsea Berman, what are some of your goals or aspirations moving forward? I mean, in terms of live music as well, hopefully when that starts to come back. I mean, I know you've been doing some stuff with Jake Davey. And I mean, live music, at least from what I see on social media, like you're always very sort of active when it comes to that sort of thing, which is great to see. But yeah, moving forward, can we expect more music, more live music down the line when things start to open up? Yeah, what are you hoping for in the future?
Yeah, definitely would love some more live music. I know it's been so tricky these past 2 years to be able to do that consistently, but definitely would like to get back into that, play some more festivals. I think it's going to be tricky for us emerging artists to actually get on festivals when things do open up, because obviously all artists haven't been playing any festivals. So those, you know, bigger profile artists will want to play them and will get those spots. So it will be a bit tricky for a while, I think. Yeah. But yeah, hopefully we will be able to kind of get those spots again on festivals, because that's just amazing and definitely probably my, you know, the most fun thing that I enjoy doing, playing festivals. Definitely want to continue my tour with Jake. So Jake and I we created a tour, our own tour, because we were sick of waiting for, I guess, someone else to ask us on tour. So yeah, we just created our own. And that's called the Fresh Country Tour. And we did a few shows with that throughout the start of this year. And they went so well. It was awesome. And we did plan to continue that, but obviously that's just on hold for the moment. But we'll definitely like to continue that probably next year at this stage, and travel a bit more throughout Australia doing those shows. And just meeting new people, playing for new people. All of that is really, really fun, but also important when you're an emerging artist to, you know, constantly be playing live and meeting new people. Would love to do, you know, more support act gigs. I love doing those and have tried to do those pretty consistently. They're always so much fun. And then, yeah, I guess releasing new music will definitely be on the cards. I think it will be a few more singles. I'd love to do an album at some stage, but I think that will have to wait a while just because it is quite a big process. And I do want to make sure, I guess, that I have the right songs for that type of project. So, yeah, that will be sometime in the future. But for now, I think it'll just be a few more singles, keeping consistent and, yeah, trying out some new things.
Nice. So good. Well, hey, so great to chat to you and hear about your insight, especially when it comes to everything from songwriting to the stuff that you've been releasing over the years, and it's sort of seeing this journey that you've been on and you're still going on so far. So before I let you go, where can people find you and your music? Go ahead and plug yourself.
Okay, love a good plug. So anywhere you listen to music, really, Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, my songs are on there. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm quite active on those. Love posting, love chatting to people. So yeah, come and say hey.
So good. I'll make sure to have all those links to Chelsea's music and socials in the description where you're listening to this podcast. We've got new episodes of Indie Music Diaries every single Wednesday, available on all podcast platforms. Once again, Chelsea, thanks so much for joining the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.